Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. Chief Joel Schultz needs no introduction to most people involved in law enforcement around the country, except for Chuck Springer. But anyhow, Chief Joel Schultz has written for many, many years on a lot of different outlets. We've been covering his content for all those years, and I'm pleased to see that he's on the show. So thank you so much for being on the show, Chuck. Also, LAPD, our former LAPD commander, Jeff Winninger. You can get more information about him at jeffwinninger.com. He is migrated over to Ohio, but he just released a book called, he is releasing a book called On Thin Ice. If you want more information on Thin Ice and want to be able to sign up for that book when it comes out, jeffwinninger.com. Make sure you check that out. And then Chuck Springer, you know, he's not a doctor. He doesn't have any books. But he was a lieutenant at LAPD. But another good thing about Chuck is he migrated over to Florida, which is in my neck of the woods, and he left California, which I really appreciate, Chuck, because, you know, we have strength in numbers. And since a lot of the people we talk about on the show are from Florida, we need to take up for our, you know, for our peeps. You know what I'm talking about, brother. So Chuck's another lieutenant from LAPD. So it is pretty much we're outnumbered, Chief, by lieutenants today, but it should make for a good show. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Gauls, our title sponsor, Gauls.com, Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're on satellite radio right now. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to 1.5 million people right now in various outlets, and also Two Bells. They've built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And Jeff, are we doing anything with the Two Bells today? I just thought I'd ask.
I haven't sent you a text yet, but I'll get you the code.
No, so what that means, guys, is that if you guys are new to the show, look, I know we've got a lot of people that are Audible, podcast, radio station. Please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. But what a little thing that we do, and this may end up being a 24-hour giveaway. We'll see how many entries we have for the streamers. But when Jeff's on the show, we give a free $20 gift card for our online store. It was built by Two Bells. That's the number two, Bells, BELLES.com. And they give you $20 off any order you place on our online store. All you have to do is go to leoroundtable.com to check out the store. So we'll be doing that. If you want to type in the number two and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address, you're automatically entered into one of that. So that's just a great opportunity. Now, guys, we've got the sponsors out of the way. And what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Let me whet the appetite. Man, we have a breaking news item. I sent this email out late last night to everybody. Supreme Court rules 9-0. Gosh, that's unusual. To broaden the standard for suing police over unreasonable force. So this is not necessarily a good thing for law enforcement, but we're going to break it down. And also, we got a federal judge dismisses a lawsuit. You know, we have two titles, guys. So here's the first title. From the Atlanta Black Star, federal judge dismisses a lawsuit filed by innocent black man claiming Dallas cops were reasonable in brutally arresting him, then attempting to wrongly frame him on gun charges. But the real title from a different source is judge tosses excessive force suit against Dallas cops who mistook man for someone else. And of course, if he would have been compliant, as we talked about in yesterday's show, none of that stuff would have happened. Another one, we've got a man fatally shot by Fountain Valley police after stealing a female officer's gun. This show is not going to be too good for female cops. We've also got New Orleans officer fatally shoots a suspect who took her, female cop, for a ride after using Narcan. After waking the guy up with Narcan, he takes off in the car. Attack on Michigan military base for ISIS thwarted by law enforcement. We got one for the good guys. Deputy body cam footage shows a deadly shooting of a wanted registered sex offender in DeSoto County. I think that might have been Florida there, Chuck. It's making us look bad. Arbitrator orders a reinstatement of an Oregon probation officer fired over Nazi salutes. We got a little bit of everything. And then Tyler PD releases body cam footage after a woman discharges an officer's gun during arrest. I thought that the woman was fighting with a female cop. It was a male cop. And then only when the second male cop got there in the fight did she put her hand in his holster and pull the trigger on his gun. We got some crazy stories. If you guys want to take anything out of order, let me know. But I know that we're definitely going to be starting off with the main topic. So let me hit that one first. We got 7 minutes before we take our first commercial break. LawOfficer.com and UPI.com are the two sources. Supreme Court rules 9-0 to broaden the standard for suing police officers over unreasonable force. So in a case making it easier to challenge police in unreasonable force cases in court, the Supreme Court on Thursday ruled unanimously, which is rare, to permit the mother of a Houston man killed in a traffic stop to continue an excessive force court claim. Now, the court ruled that, quote, the totality of the circumstances and not just the moment of threat doctrine must be used to assess, to decide whether the use of police force was, quote, objectively reasonable, unquote. Now, Justice Elena Kagan, she wrote the opinion, and she said the question here is whether that framework permits courts in evaluating a police shooting or other use of force to apply the so-called moment of threat rule, what's going on at the time. Under that rule, a court looks only at the circumstances existing at that precise moment in time that the officer perceived the threat inducing him to shoot. She added that today, they are rejecting that approach as improperly narrowing their requisite Fourth Amendment analysis. Now, to assess whether an officer acted reasonably in using force, a court must consider all the relevant circumstances, including facts and events leading up to the climactic moment. So the totality of the circumstances. Janice Hughes Barnes, and she ended up suing Houston police officer Robert Felix Jr. for shooting Ashton Barnes to death during a traffic stop that Barnes, he drove off on April the 28th. This is back in 2016. So this has been a while, guys. Barnes was stopped for a toll road violation. Officer Felix was sued for use of excessive force in violation of the Fourth Amendment. Now, lower courts, using the moment of threat doctrine, they upheld actually the police action. They said it was reasonable because they only looked, according to our Supreme Court judge, at the seconds when the officer actually fired the shots. And they did not consider the totality of the circumstances, which is what the Supreme Court wants them to start doing, that led up to the critical seconds. Now, after Barnes, our bad guy, stopped, and I say he's a bad guy because he was uncooperative, Officer Felix commented that he smelled marijuana as Barnes rummaged through papers looking for his license and insurance, proof of insurance. Barnes said that he may have an identification in the trunk of the car, so the officer said, hey, pop the trunk, while our bad guy seated in the car. The officer then tells him to get out of the car, but instead, our bad guy turns the engine ignition back on, non-compliant. The officer jumps onto the door, the sill of the car. It starts moving forward, and he's yelling at Barnes to stop moving. Within 2 seconds, actually, Felix, our officer, fires 2 shots inside the car, and he fatally wounds our bad guy. Supreme Court opinion said that the lower court decisions, since they were looking only at the 2 seconds before the shot fired, they excluded from the view any actions the officer that existed that may have created the danger necessitating deadly force. So they're really talking about officer-created jeopardy, which has been around for about 3 years now, as far as the courts are concerned. The Supreme Court ruling said that the question presented to us was really of timing alone, whether to look only at the encounter's final 2 seconds or to consider the earlier events that happened. So they weren't there to decide, you know, guilt or innocence. So with that matter resolved, they pretty much remanded it back to the lower court to make the decision, telling them to take in the totality of the circumstances. So I could go on. There's more stuff here, but I think that that's really enough to get our feet wet, you know, on this topic. Gentlemen, I'd love to hear your input. We got about 3.5 minutes before our first commercial break. But this is important stuff, and it's a little on the deeper side too. So I know you guys will dummy it down for the rest of us. So I can see a standoff right now between Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. I wonder who's going to win. Chuck, your mic is open. Go ahead, Chuck. Start us off.
I'll keep it short so the other guys can chime in. But you know, it's a little concerning that I kind of see where they're coming from. But I also see that 2020 hindsight and Graham versus Connor being uncertain to some degree here. I can definitely see on one of the videos, Fountain Valley, that you have us looking at today, where they could easily argue that she essentially, you know, gave the suspect the gun, basically, almost. So big concern there. We'll see where this leads, but I see, if it's not checked, I see a windfall in lawsuits for, you know, violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, so you're talking about more in the either the bad guys or the surviving family members.
Correct.
So being able to successfully sue cops. Yeah, I mean, I know that qualified immunity still has a role in all this stuff. And we have some other stories that are heavily involved with this qualified immunity thing, too. But Chief Joel Schultz, you want to take it next?
Well, I think it's important that in the ruling, they were pretty careful about saying this is not an officer involved jeopardy case. They really tiptoed around that and didn't really zero in on that. So we still have, you know, some wiggle room there. And I'm not terribly concerned about this case because it's really the totality of circumstances is, I mean, that's a phrase we've known forever. And the moment of jeopardy has typically only been applied in fatalities, not other use of force issues. And so to extend that to use of force makes sense. It's a 9-0. What I really liked, I've got some other notes here, but I really liked Kavanaugh's concurring opinion. He was almost like, I'm sorry, guys, but this is what we had to say. And he gave a lot of really common sense discussion about pursuing and what's an officer to do anyway. So I don't know that, and we don't know what's going to happen with this individual officer. He might go QI. They might decide the totality of circumstances is still justifiable. But I don't think this is really going to be have a huge impact on litigation. Probably a lot of efforts to use it, but I don't think long term it's going to be a bad thing.
Well, Jeff, I know, Lieutenant Jeff, that you listened to some audio. I know you only have about 30 seconds before we take our first commercial break, but you want to whet the audience appetite on what you got coming up?
Well, yeah, you know, I listened to the arguments that were held back January 22nd of this year, and this was a foreseeable ruling. I've quite a bit of a number of thoughts actually on it, and I'll share those when we get back from the break.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. So we will be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear really just about anywhere, especially if you're looking online, right? But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto says, proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations, even like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to Gauls.com. And they're even going to do one better for you. For the loyal listeners of the show, you can use a radio code. It's radio15, and they'll give you 15% off your next purchase until June 31st at Gauls.com. Again, the code they use, it's radio15. They get 15% at Gauls.com. And hey, they have gift cards. We give away two every week at the show. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com. They'll be your new best friends. If you haven't been there lately, check it out today. Gauls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we left off, we're talking about, it's really a breaking news item, where the U.S. Supreme Court just handed down a ruling talking about broadening the area where you can sue cops. And they're talking about the considerations really that you need to make in justifying the use of force from a police officer. And they really want you to include not just what happened at the time, but what they're calling it, the totality of the circumstances. So even invention things that happen, maybe even well before the shooting or the use of force took place, needs to go into consideration when the lower courts make that determination. And so I know Jeff Weninger has got some thoughts on that. We've already heard from Lieutenant Chuck Springer and Chief Joel Schultz. So Lieutenant Jeff, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, Graham versus Connor, that's a 1989 decision by the Supreme Court. You know, it's about the totality of the circumstances, and it's about an officer with similar training and experience. And when they list all the things that you're supposed to be considering, it's not just that split second when you make the decision to use the force. It has to be much broader than that. And it's been the Ninth Circuit primarily that has had that slow creep to having it be the moment of threat. But I think this is just a correction that has needed to be made. And actually, I think it's a good thing for law enforcement. I think it needs to be a wake-up call for the organizations that the actual force policy needs to be in aligned with the law. But in regards to like tactical training and holding officers accountable to maintaining their training in regards to how they are to address certain circumstances and things that they shall not do, I think it's a wake-up call for organizations to protect their officers. And a perfect example of that is how many times we see officers jump in front of a moving vehicle and then shoot at it. I mean, that's you need to have that be a shall not, except for extenuating circumstances if someone in the vehicle has a firearm and is pointing it at you. But the vehicle in and of itself is not a threat. So it's your responsibility to get out of the way of the vehicle, or to never get in front of it to begin with, and then hold the officers accountable And it's those sorts of things that are, it's not only going to keep our officers safer from a physical standpoint, but it's going to keep them out of the, out of trouble in the mind of the courts. So, you know, like I said, if you listen to the opening arguments on this thing back on the 22nd of January, and you can Google it and you can listen to it. It's about an hour and 5 minutes. It was pretty clear that this is what they were going to be doing. But, you know, the one thing that I think it could potentially have an impact on would be the qualified immunity, because we're now expanding what we're considering in regards to the actions of the officer and regards to determining whether they would qualify for that immunity. But it's also an opportunity perhaps for the federal government to better define the expectations when it comes to force, primarily lethal force with law enforcement. So organizations can guide their policies and procedures more accordingly to make sure that their officers stay out of trouble. So and overall, I see it being a good thing, really.
I wasn't sure about the facts of that. When it talks about the sill, I don't know if the door, driver's door was open or driver door was closed. To me, that kind of makes a little bit of a difference. Did you get that from the facts of the case?
You know, I don't have I can't speak to the facts of the case. I just have the broad brush explanation of what the circumstances were. I can't even opine on whether this would now, with the new ruling, you know, make it unreasonable. I don't know.
I just know there are so many cases that we watch where this V between the cabin and the open driver's side door, open passenger door, that's such a hot spot. We're always talking about fatal funnel and building searches, but I don't remember a whole lot of protocol or training about tactical distance, you know, when you've got that open door. There's just so many bad things happen right there.
Well, you know, it's true. And, you know, the reality is we always go back to it on this show, the glove. You know, if your intention is to detain somebody and remove them from the vehicle, and they're not armed, you're going to have much higher success if you have the glove as a tool to use versus wrestling with these people in a car that they have on and can put in the drive and start driving down the road while you're hanging out in it. That's a dangerous circumstance.
Hey, Jeff, I noticed that when you came back to the show after they had used the glove on you in that demo, that your voice was actually an octave higher, and it's dropping back down where it used to be now. So that's good to see. So.
Yes, slowly. How
was that experience?
It makes you a believer. I don't care. Yeah. You know, I'm 230 pounds, and a 5 foot woman, 98 pounds, could be telling me what to do if you apply that tool. So yeah, it's I'm a believer.
All right, I love it. Love it. Well, gentlemen, we got about a minute and a half before we take our second commercial break. So let's, if you don't mind, let's go to our first update. It might be the only update that we cover, because I know we've got some stories with video components that are really going to be have a lot of value. So we have two different titles on this. It's the same story, but the first title is from AtlantaBlackStar.com. So need I say any more? And then we got the UnionBulletin.com. So the first title is, of course, federal judge dismisses a lawsuit filed by innocent black man claiming Dallas cops were reasonable and brutally arresting him, then attempting to wrongly frame him on gun charges. So we've got three descriptive adjectives in there. And then we got the more accurate title written by another publication, judge tosses excessive force suit against Dallas cops who mistook him for somebody else. And so I've got a few minutes to, I've got just seconds to get this. Let me just whet the appetite. A federal judge tossed a lawsuit by a former security guard who alleged that Dallas cops used excessive force after they mistook him for a family violence suspect. So, and look, that stuff happens. I mean, in police work, oh my gosh, if you know, there are times when the bad guy just gives the wrong name and the guy, and you come up with a hit, you know, for a warrant or something, and you got to do some due diligence to figure out if this is really your bona fide bad guy or not. But so I just whet the appetite for the story. You guys are going to want to hear this, but it's time for our second commercial break. Stick with us. It's about to get very, very real. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a low optics manner. And, you know, they utilize their CD3. Remember that name. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's amazing. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. Now, the Glove is actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure documents into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, Plain View and Plain Feel, May the 21st. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, we just were talking about a story. We have two different titles, one from a black publication and one from a neutral one. And one of them was heavily slanted. But let me just go to the nuts and bolts of the story here. In Dallas, federal judge tossed a lawsuit by a former security guard who alleged that Dallas police officers used excessive force after they mistook him for a family violence suspect. So they thought that he was a bad guy they were looking for. In a 20-page ruling, U.S. District Judge Karen Gren Scholar argued that the officers who detained Sylvester Hayes back in 2021, that they were actually protected by what we call qualified immunity. But don't be misled. Qualified immunity means that they have to qualify for it. It's not like absolute immunity that prosecutors and judges get, where they get automatically. Judge goes on to say that police did have probable cause and force was justified because Hayes, our bad guy, did not use his turn signal and he resisted arrest. Now, even though they mistook him for somebody else when he gave his name and stuff, he's a bad guy because he resisted, he was non-compliant. And this is why we said the other day, cops pull you over, comply. You don't know all the information they have or what their justification is, and it's likely going to be justified. Hayes now plans to appeal, saying that body camera footage of the arrest speaks for itself. He said, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, I guess talking about the judge's opinion, but it clearly showed that I was fighting for my life. Hayes, 29 years old, told the Dallas Morning News in a recent interview that if I would have never yelled out for help, I feel that they would have taken my life that day. And that's just a crock. In a court document, city attorneys argued that the arrest was constitutional. The officers did not use excessive force, and Hayes, our bad guy, misrepresented his level of resistance to the officers. Now, Hayes, a black man from South Oak Cliff, alleged that Dallas police racially profiled him when they pulled him over on October the 16th of 2021 for failing to signal at a stop sign as he's driving the pickup breakfast for his four kids. Of course, they got to throw in that sympathetic thing in there. His name is similar to, but spelled differently than, the name of a guy that's wanted at the time on a family violence warrant, according to the lawsuit. Now, police saw the name on his ID, pulled him out of his car, according to the body cam footage, and it showed Hayes, our bad guy, scream for help as officers struggled to restrain him. So he was definitely non-compliant. Police later realized that they had the wrong guy, but still jailed him on resisting arrest and unlawful possession of a firearm. Wow, interesting. So he was a bad guy, a real bad guy. He has said that his arrest wreaked havoc on his life, noting that he lost his security job. Now that's interesting. Illegally possessed the hand. I wonder what the charge was, because he was a security guard. Maybe he didn't have maybe the law did not provide him to be an armed security guard. But he lost his car, his security job, and his home. His kids went to live with their mother. Wow. Sounds like a real winner. I'll let you guys cover this one, but I'd like to cover both angles of it. Number one, the change in the titles between the two publications. That's why you really have to vet the sources you get your news from. And that's why I hate to use the AP Newswire. It's so heavily slanted. And the other thing is the nuts and bolts of the story, if we could touch on that. But we got about a little over 7.5 minutes, guys, before we take our third commercial break. So I know you got Jeff Winninger. Thank you, Jeff, for taking one for the team and going first.
Yeah, they obviously had a legal stop. And then when they asked him to exit the vehicle, they're clearly within the law, the 1977 Mims case. They can ask him to exit the vehicle. I can see why he'd be questioning why they were treating him the way that they were, but his actions were also being resistant. And I agree with the judge. I didn't see anything that was that was excessive. Yes, I would have preferred that they had confirmed that this was the right guy. He was a Sylvester the Third, I believe, spelled with a Y or an I, and the other person that was wanted in the warrant was spelled with an I or Y, opposite of what his was. And it clearly wasn't him. Now, all the charges against him were dropped. Most concerning for me was the conversation that you heard between the sergeant and the officers trying to figure out what you're going to book him for to justify the force that you used on him. And they really didn't need to do that. But the gun charge was thrown out as well as the resisting charge. But I agree with the judge. I think the judge made the right ruling in this case. I have some concerns, like I said, other than the force that was used in, trying to figure out what they're going to book the guy for. What do they have to justify the actions that they took when they didn't need to do that?
Do you know what the gun charge was specifically? Because I don't, but I just curious.
I don't, but the gun was released back to him. So he obviously was registered to him and he was authorized to have it. So I don't know.
Interesting. Well, Chief Joel Schultz.
Well, Chip, I can't believe your lack of empathy for this person. I mean, according to that article, he was wrongly framed. It was a brutal arrest. He was abused. He was a victim of racism. He was just a dad trying to get some donuts for his kids. And he was an aspiring police officer. I mean, poor guy. I can't help but feel bad for him.
Well, you know, he could go to Oakland, California and apply and probably become a police officer. That's always a possibility.
Well, maybe he was a citizen, so it might not qualify.
Well, you know, they're police board now. They have been soliciting for convicted felons. So I thought that maybe it'd be a good fit. But Chuck Springer.
Yeah, I agree with what's been said. The only thing I'll add to the incident itself is that here's a clear case of failing to cooperate. You cooperate, you get put in handcuffs. They realize you're not who you are. Have a nice day, sir. Sorry for the inconvenience. Here's my business card. So he doesn't, and guess what happens? As far as the journalistic aspect of this, we're all not surprised. There are probably a few true journalists still out there, but by and large, most of the folks in that profession are now propagandists. They're not interested in conveying the truth or information. They're interested in changing people's perceptions. So my two cents on that portion of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the chief said that, he was an aspiring police officer. They took that off of a comment he made when he's in the backseat of the car saying, I was thinking about being one of you guys. And from that comment, they allude to the fact that he was aspiring and that it was his dream to be a police officer and all that. So, I mean,
if he's picking up donuts for the kids, though, I'm just saying, if he's going to a donut shop, he's certainly he's certainly a good candidate for some police departments, I think.
Yeah, I think donut or two.
he deserves some kind of Oscar for his performance to the audience too. That was classic.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing we haven't talked about was this was right after George Floyd, so the impact of the Floyd thing and the
good point,
the notoriety that case was getting may have motivated this guy's actions to behave the way that he did to try to perhaps generate some type of high profile incident where, he would have a legitimate lawsuit, which in this case doesn't appear to be so, but that may have been his motivation. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm heavily disappointed in the outlet that pushed the racial narrative and trying to push that agenda, which does nobody any good. And if you have Blacks or maybe other minorities, Hispanics or whatever, that are getting pulled over and they're unjustly in fear because they read, you know, trash like that in the media. And then they don't want to comply because they're worried. And really the answer is comply. If the cop's in the wrong, you can go to the IA or the prosecutor's office if it's really bad and criminal of nature and get it taken care of, but simply comply. What does it matter? But you don't know whether you match the description of somebody else. You're given a name that's similar to somebody else. And look, I have no issue with them handcuffing a guy, detaining them. You know, the longer, if it really is that bona fide bad guy and he knows you're giving him time sitting in the car or whatever to think about whether he's going to get away, I have no problem with them handcuffing the guy, even on a whim that it could be the right guy. Handcuffs off when you're done and have a good day. Sorry about for the inconvenience, sir. You know, but yeah, just the news media, they're doing the people they represent, in this case, the Black community, they're doing them absolutely no favors. Well, you guys ready to move on to some stories with video components? All right. This is going to be, put your seatbelts on, guys. This is going to be pretty wild. I only got about a minute and a half before we take our third commercial break, but I do have enough time to kind of whet the appetite. Look, this first one, wow. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, this story does have a video component that we're going to be talking about. So if you're listening to the show audibly, your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets bringing you this good quality content. Because in return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if you have to see a certain video that we talk about, just go to our Rumble channel the very next day, because Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will, he'll release a portion or a copy of this live show after he embeds every video we talk about as we talk about it. And he'll actually have pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them. So again, that's at Rumble. Leo Roundtable is the name of the channel at 9 o'clock the very next morning. So I've got a few seconds here where I can kind of tell you guys what's going on. Man fatally shot by Fountain Valley police after stealing a female officer's gun.
Huh? Take a seat. I don't have to.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
In Jesus' name I pray forever. Amen. Jesus' name I pray forever. Amen.
We're going towards El Corazon.
Just 148 at this time.
He's in the parking lot across from the PD.
She's got a weapon! Put it down, dude! Put it down! Put it down! Hey, put it down!
Guys, this is pretty harrowing. It's very dramatic. There's a lot going on in this thing. And it goes down very quickly as well. And it's Fountain Police Department. Officers initially get a call on this thing back on January 24th.
Save the Jesus name! They're saving the Jesus name forever! They're saving the Jesus name forever!
Oh my God, here's my God! Oh my God!
Forever!
Jesus name.
Please
don't shoot me! Please don't shoot me!
Hey, put it down!
So look, I'm going to stop there. When we come back from commercial break, We're going to tell this dramatic story. You guys are not going to believe it. So stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, you know, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also, and you know, the disciplinary issues, that's huge, and also civil suits as well. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course set huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, forensic organizations, federal agencies, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're a chief or your sheriff and you have your own agency, they've got a fantastic deal for you. The founder, Daniel Kelly, is offering to let you guys host a seminar for absolutely no cost. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We have two stories back to back. There are video components. They're both involving female officers. This is not necessarily going to be very favorable to female officers. I apologize for that. But hey, I don't build the planes. I just fly them. That's pretty cool, huh? You guys can use that if you want to. And I give credit to attorney Bob McCabe for letting me steal that line from him. But that's, come on now, give me credit. Now, I see Jeff. I can see you're pretty impressed that I came up with something like that. Of course, I stole it from somebody, but all right, here we go. Man fatally shot by Fountain Valley police after stealing a female officer's gun. And this is that. We got this from our news source, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So Fountain Valley Police Department officers, they initially get called to an area back on January 24th. And there's reports of a guy that's trying to get into an occupied car, but it's near middle school, the Kazoo Mizuta Middle School. So when they find the suspect, he's only 26 years old. His name is O'Shawn McClintock. And they said that a foot pursuit happens afterwards. So the suspect, he runs to a nearby gas station and then to a bank and finally through a parking lot. So the officers finally make contact with this guy at an intersection. And that's when they get into a struggle. And he gets into a struggle with a female officer. So he kind of, the officer chasing him, this guy is in better shape than our officer, right? So the officer is kind of like taking his time. He's on radio a lot, but the guy, he's out of view. But the officer, it's kind of weird. It's almost like from a distance, he kind of watches this guy engaging a female officer, you know, in a like a police SUV, a small one, but he engages the female officer. Now he gets in a struggle with her and he comes around. There's a body cam showing him come around. She's got her door open and he comes around. She's got her gun pointed at him. She lets him come into the space inside the door jam, grabs the gun, disarms her, takes the gun from her. And then she gets out of there and she crawls on the ground. She's like, you know, screaming and yelling and she's in fear for her life and just trying to get away because he's got the gun and she's worried about him shooting her, rightfully so. So they both end up outside the vehicle. The suspect is then able to, our male officer, I guess he's on a second wind now. So he runs up, he transitions from a taser to a firearm and he draws down on the guy. The guy's armed with the female officer's gun. And so the male officers tell him to drop it, drop it. So the guy runs and he hops inside the police vehicle and there's shots fired and the officer fires. It looks like our guy slumps over. Now it says that he drives a short distance before he crashes to a USPS van, United States Postal Service. And then he points a gun at the officer and they said it could possibly be a police gun. We have every reason to believe that it was. And they say the suspect presented the weapon, firearm, and they said that Sergeant Henry Sue's kind of given the lowdown on this. Officers open fire, hitting the suspect. He dies at the scene. The officer, or no officers, nor the driver of the postal van were injured, you know, in the shootout. So that's what we have. Not very favorable to the female officer that let him get hands on with her when you've got a gun out. And let me just point out that there's many. Once you pull that gun out, guys, there's nothing that says that if you have a bad guy approaching you, that there's no rule saying that you have to holster that gun and go hands-on with the bad guy, or else it'll be this game back and forth about, you know, him waiting till you holster your gun, or if you have to holster your gun, if he can close the distance before you have time to holster and snap your gun in place, then it's going to be a fight over firearms. So, but Chuck Springer, take it from here. We got a little over 6 minutes.
Yeah, very scary experience for her. Absolutely. I kind of read it that the first officer probably lost sight of the suspect, was walking a certain direction, and it's when he hears the female officer screaming, he changes direction and p- potentially sees what's going on, so it runs over there. Now, it's hard to tell, but it looks like the suspect pointing the gun at the officer when he gets up there alongside a tree, so he's got good cover. I'm probably throwing rounds at that point myself. The suspect gets into the car, and the officer leaves cover, runs out into the middle of the street, and engages in an OIS at that point. I couldn't tell whether the suspect pointed the gun at the officer or not. You know, obviously, I'd have to wait for, more detailed analysis of the video, officer statements, et cetera, et cetera. And the other thing that you really can't tell is when the female officer is searching for this suspect, does he surprise her coming out from behind that van? Or does she see him and drive up so close that by the time she's getting out, he's on her? You can't tell from the video, but either way, she presents the pistol, basically almost hands it to him. Fortunately for her, it looks like the magazine came out of the gun too. I don't know if she did that on purpose or if during the struggle it came out. It's unclear from the video whether the suspect, tries to shoot her or not. I don't know. She's pleading with the guy not to kill her. I can't imagine being in that position. I wouldn't be surprised if she resigns, to be quite honest with you, going through that kind of traumatic event. But certainly there's a training issue there with gun retention. And, again, I can't tell if she allowed the suspect to come up on her like that or if he was hiding somewhere and just got the jump on her. That's a possibility. But the OIS looks like it's good. Some training debriefs. I don't see anything that I would classify as grossly out of policy or unlawful.
All right. Well, let me throw this other one in here real quick, and then we can, if you want to refer to the first video, you can. Same channel, rumble.com. This is Butter. New Orleans officer fatally shoots a suspect who took her for a ride after using Narcan for his overdose. So Friday, May the 2nd, Officer Rachel Wiley and other officers responded to reports of a guy. He's unresponsive in a car. He's in a store parking lot. They administer Narcan. Guy revives. He's a 42-year-old named Gregory Williams. When he becomes awake, he's already in the car. He drives off, and the female officer Wiley, who I guess was one of the people that just administered Narcan, she's partially inside the vehicle. So she's hanging on the driver's door, and it drives in front of the store. We got surveillance cam video, and the female is clinging on the driver's door, and we got a male officer chasing them on foot, trying to catch up. And the officer was Michael Sella-Woodine. And so eventually, the car ends up, she fires twice, striking Williams, the driver, once. And then the car sideswipes a truck. Oh my gosh, she's hanging out of the car. So she gets, she hits that truck, becomes dislodged, and then pinned under the front of the car. And then the bad guy continues on. Remember, he's been shot once. He crashes head on into a parked vehicle. So he's pronounced dead at the scene. The officer sustains multiple injuries, but is expected to recover. And then during the escape, while they're in the parking lot, when the female officer is hanging onto the driver's door, he hits a woman with loading groceries into her car, and she has to go to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Wow. 2.5 minutes, guys. Chief, or Jeff, go ahead.
On the first video that we talked about with the female, it was tough listening to her beg for her life. But the one thing I heard was the officer stating that we're, outside the PD. So, we as police officers have to realize there is a certain segment of this society that we live in that could care less that you wear a uniform and a badge, and that what you're going to say is not going to compel them at all. So there's always force and influence in numbers. So if you're by the PD, let's wait until you have some additional people come and kind of corral this guy up, because it was hard to watch. I mean, it was traumatic for anybody who had to watch it. It was tough. Yeah. And I agree with Chuck. I'd be surprised if she's still on the job. I feel bad for her. But on this other one, the reality is the, police officers, it puts into question whether they actually should be administering Narcan. Is that really our job? Yeah. That's one thing that we tend to do. We try to do more than what we actually ought to be doing. Leave that to the RA. People that are trained medically to handle things. At a minimum, you're going to probably change your policy and remove people from a vehicle before you administer Narcan. But I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Good point. You know, we've come a long way. We're talking about administering Narcan instead of giving people ketamine, you know, so that's a good thing. Any final thoughts on this, Chief Schultz? We've got about roughly around 45 seconds here.
Well, both of those that we're just talking about, they happen in that V between the driver's side door and the cab of the vehicle. And yeah. It's just a dangerous spot. Dwayne Wolf does a great job on Police One just this week with gun retention on that and the pregnant woman, reaching into the holster and firing. So it's a good read.
Well, thank you. Hey, gentlemen, it's been an excellent show. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Chief Joel Schultz, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, jeffwinninger.com on Thin Ice. And actually, we're going to get him talking about that in just one second. And also Chuck Springer. And so thanks, guys, so much. You know, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special Guitars for Cops going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that's at guitars4cops.com. Jeff Winninger, the book that's over your shoulder, On Thin Ice. It's going to be coming out soon. And you can go to jeffwinninger.com, I believe, to get more information. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be coming out late summer, early fall. And you can go to the jeffwinninger.com. But to make it easier, so you don't have to spell Winninger, you can go to onthinicebook.com.
Love it.
That'll take you to the website.
All right. And Chief, how can they get a hold of your books? I know you've got a whole library there behind you they can get. I love it. And the website, Chief, is I think on amazon.com. They can type in Chief Schultz, I believe. And guys, a word out to our sponsors, Gulls, Compliant Technologies, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and TampaFP.com, former lawman.com, lawbuster.com. Thanks, guys. We'll see you Monday.